This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Welcome to hour number two of the big show. I am Todd Albaugh. Radio's Todd Albaugh, I should say. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Here at hour number two of the show, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Glad to have you along. Thanks for all the calls. Talking about the Fox News interview last night with Kamala Harris, vice president. Thought you did a great job. Cindy, listening on the Civic Media app line. Pull that up for you. Just 1 second here. Da, 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 da. Well, let's see. There we go. Cindy from Wausau. Saying it was so annoying listening to him interrupt her and berate her last night. Would have never done it had the criminal, i.e. Trump, shown up. They would have given him easy softball questions. They would have let him, would not have let him ramble on. They would not have called him out on any lies, but not her. They hold her to a different standard. They should be holding the criminal to her standard. She should not have to lower herself to this. Don't necessarily disagree with you, Cindy, but I still maintain it was a good thing that Harris went on there last night because I think it showed she's tough. Not that she had to prove that to me, but there are people out there that have this thought, and let's just call it what it is because she's a woman. Oh, is she tough enough? I like to see any Yahoo MAGA male supporter do what she did last night. That takes courage. It takes tough mental acuity. It takes focus. It takes restraint. It takes professionalism. It means that you have to be presidential. And I think she proved that last night. Going to try to get to more news stories on election deniers serving as Trump electors in 2024. Also, Derek Van Orden and Rebecca Cook are tied for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Probably heard at the top of the hour on ABC or CBS News, breaking news at this hour, Hamas leader. Remember this. Hamas is a recognized terrorist organization, along with Hezbollah. Terrorist organization. Period. Full stop. Their leader, Yahya Sinwar, has reportedly been killed today. One word, good. Time once again for What's Worse?
Then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Time once again for a little fun, a palate cleanser. What's worse? Your chance to have your voice heard across statewide radio. No prize money involved. No giveaways in the bin. Our giveaway bin, Mr. Zommers, is empty.
For the time being.
There is nothing in the bin.
For now.
All right, here we go. Are you up? You're up. Well, the very first day we met, I think, we had pizza together, right?
We did at Novanta. It was delicious.
Novanta Pizza. Some of the best pizza in Madison. Great location over on University Avenue. Kind of across from La Brioche in that neck of the woods. Not too far from Hilldale. Novanta Pizza, the authorized Napoletano pizza of the Todd Albaugh Show.
At least according to us.
At least according to us. Are you a pineapple guy on your pizza?
Yes. I love me some Hawaiian.
Do you really? Not everybody does. All right, here we go. What's worse? Pineapple on pizza or ketchup on steak? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, pineapple on pizza or ketchup on steak? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you. 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse, pineapple on pizza or ketchup on steak? Michaela listening in West Bend on WAUK. You could have put some of those cheese curds in your bin. Absolutely right. Absolutely right, Michaela. Why are we not giving away cheese curds? That is a question I have. I have nothing to do with the giveaways, but that'd be great. Steve listening in Milwaukee, definitely ketchup on steak is worse. Michaela in West Bend, ketchup on steak, no contest, disgusting. Here's what I'll tell you. I think this is biblical. When I was a child, I did as a child. I put ketchup on steak. But now that I'm a man, I do not. It may have to do with the fact when I was a kid, you know, we couldn't afford a lot. And so we had lesser cuts of steak. And so I think as a kid, you know, it made it taste. But now, you know, I don't do this all the time because I still can't afford it. But I have a nice filet. And I like a medium rare filet. And I don't ruin it with anything. Just the steak. Just the steak. What's worse? Pineapple on pizza or ketchup on steak? Mike listening up at Green Bay, WGBW. They are both abominations. However, I would say pineapple on pizza is worse. At least ketchup on steak is the same flavor profile, kind of in the ballpark. All right, I see that.
I disagree. I respect your opinion, but pineapple on pizza. Mm-hmm. So pineapple is acidic. And, okay. You know, if you're a coffee drinker, you know that acidity is not always a bad thing.
Right.
And it's also sweet. And like, if you've ever had, let's say, barbecue sauce, mm-hmm. barbecue sauce on meat, that's a very sweet sauce, or it can be. There's fruit in that usually. So what's wrong with having fruit on pizza as long as it does fit the flavor? That's my opinion.
You're welcome to it. Caller here from WMDX, ketchup on steak or a brat? Oh, now we're getting into a whole other territory. That must be a Chicago listener. No ketchup on their brat or hot dog. Llama in Madison on WMDX says ketchup on steak is desecration. I think that's what they meant to say, right? Also, Chris listening in Janesville on WMDX. My dad almost said I couldn't marry my wife. She put ketchup on steak. And when my dad said no, she asked for A1. That's fantastic. What's worse? Pineapple on pizza or ketchup on steak? Cindy in XCO land in Wausau says it's absolutely ketchup on steak is the worst thing right up there with gravy. Now, I don't want to get into a gravy war, but I don't think gravy is all that bad. In fact, some gravy is great. Pineapple on pizza is worse, says a Green Bay listener. Ketchup on steak and chicken is awesome. All right. Chris in Janesville, by the way, says still married her. 26 years together, and she hasn't put ketchup on steak for 22 years. Congrats, by the way, Chris in Janesville. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, pineapple on pizza or ketchup on steak? We go to the phone lines, and we welcome in our ongoing contributor and friend and birthday boy, Mr. Jerry Perry. Jeff Perry, happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for remembering. I appreciate that.
Yes, all great men are born in October, or so they tell me.
I totally agree.
Are you having steak or pizza today?
I am actually having a steak this evening. That is my birthday dinner of choice. So, yeah. Nice. And I can guarantee you what will not be put on the steak. now, let me just preface this by saying that pineapple on pizza is awful. Okay. But what's worse is definitely the ketchup on the steak. And I don't say this with many things, but if I caught somebody putting ketchup on their steak, that may be grounds for me turning them into the Trump people to have them deported.
You're going to deport anyone, regardless of ethnicity, but if you put ketchup on steak, you're out of here.
I think that's where we draw the line. Yeah. And I also like the idea of somebody keeping track on a calendar of how many years it's been since their wife put ketchup on a steak.
Isn't that fantastic? I really like that. Well, honey, here we are, 26 years later, and it's been 22 years since you had ketchup on a steak. I think that's fantastic.
Me too.
Congrats, Jeffrey. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy your steak tonight. We appreciate all you do whenever you call in. It's always a pleasure. Enjoy that steak ketchup-free.
I definitely will. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeff. Happy birthday, Jeff Perry. What's worse? Pineapple on a pizza or ketchup on a steak? 855-752-4842. Go to beautiful Watertown. Brian in Watertown, what's worse?
The obvious answer is ketchup on steak with one caveat, and it goes back to a former what's worse. If the steak is well done, it's no longer a steak.
Great
so
point.
You can put ketchup. A well-done steak because it's no longer steak.
That is a great point, Brian. I appreciate it. And I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you on that. If you're going to ruin a good steak by having it well done, then, yeah, I guess you might as well put ketchup on it. What's worse, pineapple on pizza or ketchup on a steak? 855-752-4842. Jesse, listening in Madison, what's worse?
Well, man, Brian really set me up. Ketchup on steak is worse, and I can prove it. My family went down to see the eclipse in Steakhouse and ordered our steaks between medium rare and rare, as one does. And our server, young woman, nice woman, said she was so grateful to see us Wisconsin people order a steak right, because even some people from Dallas around here get it well done, and that just ruins it. And I said, I couldn't help myself. I said, you know what? Donald Trump takes a steak well done. And she said, no. Well, that makes me think a little differently about him. And I said, you know, I didn't have the heart to tell her that he eats with ketchup, too, but I'm pretty sure she found that out when she went home and Googled it.
That's fantastic, Jesse. Well done. What's worse, pineapple on a pizza or ketchup on a steak? Along those same lines, Mike in Green Bay on WGBW says, I bet Vance puts ketchup on Trump's pineapples.
Ooh.
I'm not even sure what that means, but I liked it. Yeah, exactly. All right, that's fantastic. Well, maybe more on the other side. Also get into a little serious politics before the bottom of the hour. Van Orden and Cook in the 3rd District. It's a toss-up. It's a pineal-up. We'll give you the stats after this. Don't go anywhere. Not going to want to miss it on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. Glad to have you along with us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Anil Parakash, Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, a founding member of that organization and a manufacturing executive from the Milwaukee area, joins us live to tell us why he, as a manufacturer, is supporting Kamala Harris. Right now, having a little fun. Let's finish up some of these texts here, Mr. Zalbers. Go back up if we can here. What we did a little what's worse. What's worse, pineapple on a pizza or ketchup on a steak? Someone says here, Kurt in Madison, what if it's a steak sandwich? I have put a little A1 on a steak sandwich. I'll admit that.
And that makes more sense, too. Yeah.
Mark in Purdesack says, for those that remember Yogi Berra, one of my favorites, caused an international incident by asking for ketchup for filet mignon when he was served in Paris, France. after winning a trip there. Hey, you know what? You can see a lot just by looking around. One of my favorite yogi-isms. River Falls listener on WLAK. We appreciate it up there. Beautiful country. I bet the leaves are spectacular up around River Falls right now. And Amory says pineapple and pepperoni combo is literally the best pizza topping on the planet. You're not alone. A lot of people would say that, I think. Let's see here. Is it Troy in Madison?
Yeah.
On WMDX says, a well-done steak needs ketchup, and sometimes a pizza does need pineapple.
Well, all right. Ultimately, here's what I think about pineapple on pizza and ketchup on steak. However your food tastes good to you, as long as it is not hurting you, it'll be okay.
Or as long as it's not hurting others.
Well, yeah, yeah.
All right, let's get to a couple of serious notes here before the bottom of the hour. And thanks for playing along. More What's Worse in a future edition of the show. Tomorrow, our old friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World joins us to wrap up the week with a little week in review. From the Huffington Post, new poll puts Wisconsin GOP Congressman Van Orden behind waitress challenger Rebecca Cook. I'm not sure who wrote that headline, but okay. Democrats needing to gain only a handful of seats to flip control of the House have reason to be optimistic about their chances in Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, where a waitress at a farm-to-table restaurant is hoping to knock off incumbent and first-term Republican Derek Van Orden. Rebecca Cook leads Van Orden by a point, 49% to 48% in a new poll, according to a Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee memo obtained by Huffington Post. The poll was commissioned by the DCC. CCC. Although it's the second survey in about a month to put Cook ahead, the margin is well within the poll's 4.9% margin of error. It was taken from October 3rd to October 7th. 400 responses were gathered by landline, cell phone, and text. The DCCC memo obtained by Huffington Post showed Cook had leads when comparing who voters felt better reflected their positions on abortion, where Cook had an 11-point advantage, and which candidate was more relatable on a 6-point advantage there. I wonder why. Let's see. A nice young woman that grew up in Western Wisconsin on a dairy farm and was active in 4-H and is a blue-collar worker, or a guy who's been vague about his past and is on the record having been detained by police trying to get onto an airplane with a firearm, berating a teenager in his hometown of Prairie du Chien or his adopted hometown because of LGBTQ book material there, or berating teenage pages in the U.S. Capitol after getting sauced on liquor in his office. None of the, which, by the way, these things I just rattled off, Derek Van Orden denies. None of it.
Among many other things. Remember when he skipped out on a Senate vote or a Congress vote by just going on a secret mission to Israel that nobody else knows anything about?
Yes. So there's that. Bottom line, this is great news for people in Western Wisconsin that want to knock off Derek Van Orden. I get it. It's in the margin of error. But incumbency is a great power, especially when you're a congressperson. And the fact that Cook has it within the margin of error and might be leading by a point or two, it's all going to come down to turnout in Eau Claire, in La Crosse, in Platteville, and in Stevens Point, the college towns, and River Falls. I think part of River Falls in the third, I think. Don't quote me on that. I mean, every vote counts. Don't get me wrong. But this is why Vice President Harris is going to La Crosse today, going to Green Bay, going to Milwaukee. Harris knows that she can help push Cook over the line, can help push Dr. Lyerly over the line up in Green Bay. Hopefully push Peter Barca over the line against Brian Stile in the first. It's great news for Democrats there. Also, of note, lots of news today. Maybe we'll have time to get into it a little bit later on in this hour from Heartland Signal. At least they're being honest about it now. At least they're being honest. Wisconsin Republican Assembly candidate boldly endorses unpopular Project 2025. Calls it, quote, very standard issue Republican stuff, unquote. Says in recent months, Republican candidates across the U.S. have been loudly distancing themselves from Project 2025, an infamous and incredibly unpopular blueprint for a second Trump presidency put together by the Heritage Foundation. Trump himself has outwardly denied any connection to the 900-page plan, even though it was authored by many of his senior advisors. That's not stopping Wisconsin Republican Assembly candidate Jerry Helmer, from wholeheartedly endorsing the plan. In a July 24 post to the Wisconsin Parents, Grandparents, and Voters for School Board Accountability Facebook page, Helmer referred to Project 2025 as, quote, very standard issue Republican stuff, unquote. Might get into more of that a little bit later, next half hour. But coming up next, I'm right, Zomers, right? Next, Anil yes. Parakash, Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, why manufacturers are getting behind Vice President Harris. Don't go anywhere.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Yeah, pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Zomers on the board. Pleased to welcome our guest this segment. He is a manufacturing executive in the Milwaukee area, a founding member of Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, Anil Parakash. We welcome you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us live on StreamYard today.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be here.
Well, it's a beautiful day, right? And as we get closer to the fall here, you can't, or closer to the election, you can't ask for better days like this. But well, let's start with your story, first of all, then we'll get into the organization. Did you grow up in the Milwaukee area? What kind of drew you into the manufacturing vein, and how long you've been doing it?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Minnesota next door here, and life took me to a number of places. I spent 4 years active duty in the Marine Corps, and then went off to grad school and a number of different jobs later. I joined Harley Davidson, and all roads lead to Milwaukee when you're with Harley Davidson. Right. So I ended up here about 7 years ago and lived here ever since. And since have worked with three different manufacturers, Harley Davidson, Rev Group, and Aaron's Company. And so just great exposure to manufacturing here in the great state of Wisconsin.
First of all, thank you for your service. We're big fans of our veterans here at the show. We appreciate that and all who served. We're also big fans. We do a tour. In fact, we're doing one more here in a couple of weeks around Wisconsin. We call it What Makes Wisconsin Great. And the reason for that is, sure, it's a little playoff of, the Trump slogan. We kind of think we're already great here in Wisconsin. But I think things that we found going on the road throughout this whole year several times, there are things that bring us together as Wisconsinites that transcend politics, and Harley Davidson is one of those Wisconsin companies, and some of the other ones you mentioned too. But I mean, when people get together on their Harleys, and ride around Wisconsin, they're not looking whether they have a blue or a red hat. It's do you have a black and orange jacket?
It's a great unifying force. The Harley Davidson owners group, and you know, I still have my Harley since being with the company, and it's and I love going out and giving a low two-finger wave to everyone riding by me. And it's one of those things that where you have to look at what Harley-Davidson represents. It represents the best of America, and you don't want to get in the way of that, and nothing really can. And I think that's why manufacturing is so powerful in this country.
It really is. And it's from my take, and you can say yours, but I mean, it's both the people who are the entrepreneurs that create these companies, but it's also the workers who do all the work every day and come to work and make the company go, and in Harley's case, roar, pun intended. But it's also a group, you know, I was Republican for 30 years. I left the party in 2011 for my own reasons. But I think when people hear manufacturers, it's kind of, oh, it's conservative. Those are Republicans. Tell us about this group here in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, and what the mission is.
Sure. Well, we came together, a number of business leaders, out of concern for what was happening in our state over the last few years in terms of threats to democracy, and namely things that were happening out of the legislature questioning our election processes, creating a hostile environment for election administrators. And really, what happened was initially we stepped up and signed a letter from business leaders around the state, basically supporting our election administrators and saying, like, look, we know you do a great job. We know you come to work under duress. We really support you because, this, you know, we know a stable, you know, environment politically is good for a stable and growing environment economically. And that's really the connection here is if you don't have stability in your institutions and your democracy at a local level, it's really hard for businesses to plan and grow and invest and people to really think about their future. And I think that's where really why we came together. We are a bipartisan group of executives representing all different industries. I myself am a lifelong Republican. I worked in the Bush administration, was a McCain and Romney supporter. And so, you know, we have a number of Republicans and Democrats alike who have come together. And I think part of it is because the business voice, you know, matters. I think for years, you know, businesses have kind of shied away from leaning in towards policy and politics. And by no means are we interested in being politicians. But when lines are crossed and it starts to threaten the stability of our economy or growth in our economy, we have an obligation to say something.
We're talking with Anu Prakash. He is one of the founding members of the Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, also a manufacturing executive in the Milwaukee area. Anup, I'm not sure if you were there in Ripon a couple weeks ago with that crowd or not.
I wasn't, no.
So I happened to be there, and, you know, those people that you named off, you know, actually George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, McCain, Romney, you know, supported those folks over the years, but left because of things happening in the state here of voter suppression, which I witnessed in 2011. That's what made me say, hey, you know, I didn't work all my life to take people's constitutional rights away. Peace out. But standing there in Ripon and seeing former Congresswoman Liz Cheney side by side with Vice President Harris and talking about in particular January 6th and how these actions and to what you were just saying in voting rights and secure voting transcends partisanship. And I found myself thinking, this is why I was in politics for so long. Do you have similar feelings? Or when you look at this Harris candidacy, is it, I find it inclusive. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is really the reason our group came together so quickly and so organically is that it does transcend partisanship. You know, to have a stable economy where you have free and fair elections and you have people being able to plan for their future. And I think that's really what Harris and Walz have come forward with is a plan to not only create, you know, what has been, they call the opportunity economy, which has a lot of, and we can get into that a little bit. But what they also have is a just a sense of inclusion for everyone. And that's really what business is. Business is for everyone. You know, whether you're an owner, an employee, a supplier, you need that stability and you need that growth and you need all of that to happen with some confidence.
Talk a little bit about as a manufacturing executive. I don't want to go too far. I'm not you're not here to be an expert on immigration. I handled that when I worked for a former member of Congress, Scott Klug, back in the 90s. But talk from a manufacturing standpoint. It would seem to me, listening, we've played some clips of manufacturers from Springfield, Ohio, who said, you know what, these folks who immigrated here from Haitian immigrants here legally are some of the best workers we've ever had here. We need more people in the workforce here to grow our manufacturing. Is it similar in Wisconsin? Are we looking for workers in Wisconsin? And what role does immigration play in that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, Wisconsin, we've been fortunate to have, you know, a low unemployment rate. There are openings, though, and there will be more as companies come out of the pandemic and start to normalize. We will have demand for more employees and more skilled employees. And I think when you also add in that we have a net loss of people in Wisconsin, you know, we are losing residents more than we're gaining. And that's a problem. You know, you start to lose residents and you want to invest and build more manufacturing. Someone's got to be in there to run those plants. And I can see a number of firms here in the Milwaukee area certainly benefited from a large influx of immigrants that came to the Milwaukee area, many of them from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. They have been employed in our factories here. And you continue to see that trend. And I think, you know, when you extend that to our plants up north, many of them food processing, many of them who are related to the agricultural industry that rely heavily on an immigrant workforce, I think we have a real need here.
Look at this article on Business Leaders for Democracy here in Wisconsin from Milwaukee Journal. It says a Marquette University law poll released earlier this month showed that the economy was the top issue for Wisconsin voters, 41% ranking it as their first priority. The same poll found that to be true among 42% of independent voters. Half of registered voters surveyed for the poll saw Republican former President Donald Trump as the better candidate, compared with 42% for Harris, 8% rated them about the same or equally negative. Again, this article from back, I want to be accurate here, from October of, earlier this month. We played a cut earlier on this show of the vice president on Fox last night. I thought she handled herself fantastically. And if people really look at, I get that people look at their kitchen tables, but if manufacturing, if the jobs aren't there to provide good salaries, good benefits, you can't buy eggs and butter.
Yeah, I know. I think there's a lot to unpack there. And, you know, the most important piece and where we come from as business leaders is you cannot have a environment where it's unpredictable and chaotic if you're going to plan and grow your businesses. So, you know, if anyone is listening who is involved in manufacturing, for example, or supplies to a manufacturer or works at a factory or who has family who works at a factory, they need to think about this a little bit more critically. It's not just about the price of eggs. This is about stability of that business long term. And what you hear from, President Trump is your former President Trump, you hear tariffs. You hear tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. And I can tell you from personal experience at Harley-Davidson, tariffs are a bad idea. And some of your listeners might remember this from the early part of the Trump administration, but he did impose some tariffs on European imports of steel and other products, related products. And Europe turned right around and put a tariff on motorcycles, which affected Harley-Davidson dramatically. And in that time, Harley was stuck because not only could they not ship to Europe under that tariff, but they had to decide how are they going to get motorcycles to their dealers in Europe. And what did they do? They took that manufacturing and moved it to Thailand temporarily. Mm-hmm. Who lost in that? Everybody who worked at a Harley-Davidson factory here in the United States lost in that. Our suppliers who supplied to the Harley-Davidson factories here in the United States lost in that. And it created enough chaos and confusion where it stopped production, slowed things down, and actually slowed down some investments until people could really figure out what the environment was going to look like over the next 24 months. So that's the kind of chaos that comes with tariffs in a Trump administration. And that's just Wisconsin. I mean, we can all remember Foxconn. We can remember this Harley-Davidson example. Yeah. You can talk about just this past week with a John Deere example. Where, former President Trump threatened John Deere with a future tariff if they move some jobs to Mexico, and they've actually halted and they're kind of frozen. They don't know what to do.
Right.
And this is affecting jobs here in Wisconsin. These are affecting businesses here in Wisconsin. And we're all coming out of the pandemic right now. All businesses, whether you did well in the pandemic or you did poorly in the pandemic, all businesses are normalizing. Markets are normalizing. We need a stable economic environment to continue this growth trend that we're back on as a country and as an economy. And that's not going to happen under another Trump presidency.
You laid out so very well one of the best arguments I've heard of. And what I love about you and being the founder of the organization, Business Leaders, Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, is that you and the other folks in this group, you've been there. This isn't hyperbole. This isn't like, you know, a thesis paper. This is from real life experience. And right. So that's why I love this take of you and this group. Tell people in your words and your experience again, why is it then what you just laid out, what that these just myths, or I'll just call them outright lies about tariffs and fixing the economy, why is that getting seemingly with some people more traction than the truth from Vice President Harris? And it was as a business leader, when you look at what she's laid out, explain how that helps Wisconsin workers and Wisconsin families.
Sure. Well, you know, I think it ultimately does come right back down to stability and predictability. When you're a company, think about it as a homeowner. You know, if you're a homeowner and you were looking at buying another house, what do you need to be able to go buy that house? You need some stability and reliability on what the future looks like. You want to know that you're going to have some cash coming into your family's income. You're going to want to know you can make that down payment, that the mortgage payment, and that things aren't going to change on you. And I think that's the kind of stability and predictability that businesses need. And when you look at the Harris-Walz administration, you're going to get stability and predictability. You're going to get business to have a voice at the table. The National Association of Manufacturers, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, they're going to have a seat at the table. They're going to have to have a rational discussion with the Harris-Walz administration.
Hold that thought. Anoop, you are talking to Anoop Prakash. He is with the Wisconsin Democracy, Business Leaders for Democracy. We'll come back and talk more with him after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are glad to have you along with us, our guest this half hour. We appreciate him sticking around for a few minutes more. Anoop Prakash, he is with the Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, a bipartisan group of business leaders here in the state saying, look, we need some stability here in our government because one of the worst things for business, it turns out to be, surprise, surprise, Anoop, is instability. Imagine that.
Absolutely. Now, we're excited to have kind of lent our voice to this election. And in our group, as you said, bipartisan, a group of Milwaukee and Green Bay business leaders, you know, we've come together. And one of the things we did, and we spoke a lot just earlier about why we made the case for a Harris-Walz administration, the stability and the instability that Trump tariffs will bring to the table. But what we did was we shot an ad, and we actually had a number of our steering committee members from Milwaukee and in the ad. It can be found online, and I'm sure we'll be able to link it into your show
here.
But the ad is really about making sure people understand that, you know, this is a pivotal moment. We will have chaos and unpredictability under Trump and in a much more stable business environment where we can all come out of the pandemic and grow our businesses with Harris and Walz. And I think it's important for us as business leaders to make that point so people aren't hearing it from people who don't have the track record or haven't lived it themselves.
Yeah, I think that's the most powerful messaging when it's authentic and genuine. And as you said, people who have actually lived through it, doesn't matter what you're talking about, what issue. But, you know, if you're someone who's walked that road, you're the most credible person. And you and your fellow business leaders are certainly that. What do you hope? What's your one or two top goals here, besides obviously getting Walz Harris elected? What do you want? What message do you want out here in Wisconsin in the last 19 days?
You know, I want people to think about our future as a country, but also our economy. You know, we have a opportunity here in Wisconsin. We have a critical competitive advantage when it comes to manufacturing. We are a manufacturing state. We need our manufacturing investments to happen and happen in a way that builds our GDP, attracts more residents to Wisconsin, and brings more talent into the region. And all of that can happen if we have a stable, predictable environment and our business leaders are allowed to, you know, make those investments and make those decisions without the unpredictability of what a Trump administration might hold. So let's not go back. Let's go forward and make Wisconsin a great place to live and work.
Yeah, absolutely. I again, thank you for your service. I just, every time I talk to someone, a veteran, and who goes on to be successful in whatever vocation afterwards, I go back to our military folks, our veterans are just people that I have so much respect for, because they go on like yourself and become leaders in Wisconsin. And I thank you for that. Anything new that I have not asked you or that you want to make sure that people were aware of here?
No, it's been great to be on the show, and just make sure that everyone listening registers to vote.
That is the key, right? As our friend here, Luke Mathers, likes to say, be a voter, have a plan, make sure you're registered, make sure that you know how you're going to get to the polls, and go out and vote, because that is our most powerful tool of anything. Anu Prakash, thank you so very much. Again, the organization is Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. We'll put a link to all of that in our show notes. Mr. Zomers, Anu, thanks for you for being here, and best of luck in the next 19 days as we head towards Election Day.
Thank you. Take care.
Yep, my pleasure. Anu Prakash there. We appreciate his time here this afternoon. Mr. Zomers, that we get close to wrapping things up. Great show. Lots to fit in today. But I think we did it more or less well.
We
got it done. What he said there, what Anu said there, is so powerful. And again, I think it's a great bookend to the show today, because we started out with the calm, cool, collect words of Vice President Harris on that Fox News interview last night. You notice how Anu just calm, cool, collect? Because again, the truth is easy to keep telling over and over without making mistakes. And the truth is, if you care about jobs, if you or someone you know works in manufacturing as an employee, if you want your cost of goods to stay more reasonable, then vote for Harris and Walz. You heard it there, like myself, I shouldn't say former. I didn't ask him that, I guess. Certainly a Republican for a long time. So again, these are not things that the left, quote unquote, or Democrats are saying. This is coming from Republican business leaders like Anu, job creators. Somebody worked at Harley-Davidson, a legacy company in this state.
And Aaron's another big one.
Yeah. So, you know, don't take Todd's word for it. Listen to a guy like Anu, who's been a job creator. How many times during the Walker era did we hear that? Oh, is a job, job creators. Does it create jobs? I'm all for creating jobs. With real business leaders, with real executives, with real entrepreneurs like Anu. By the way, Mark Cuban, great entrepreneur, is in Wisconsin today in Milwaukee, I believe right now, vice president speaking, or was a while ago, with Mark Cuban. Here's a guy who started with nothing and had great success. So thank you to Anu Prakash and the Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy for coming on. Thank you to Mr. Zomers. Thank you for all the calls. We appreciate you so very much. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing, with our old friend Peter Rapine. The week in review. Look forward to it. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.